The question is often asked, how could a loving, merciful, gracious God send anyone to hell? Have you ever heard that question? Ever had anybody ask you that question? How could a loving, merciful, gracious God send anyone to hell? And I want to share with you my answer to that when somebody asks me that question. The answer I give is that God doesn't send anyone to hell. God doesn't send anyone to hell. God has done everything that he can do without impinging on the free will of man to keep people out of hell. The Bible never says that God chooses people to go to hell. Never says that he elects or predestines anyone to be lost. In fact, in Matthew 25:41, it tells us that hell was never created for people. Jesus, it pictures there in Matthew 25:41, it pictures Jesus at a judgment. And it says these words, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Scripture tells us that hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, not for people. But men will reject the light that God gives them. Men reject the light and choose to continue in rebellion. And they are without excuse and will end up, because of their unwillingness to repent and be reconciled to God, men will go to hell. God doesn't send anyone to hell. I believe that is the biblical response to the question, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? He doesn't. Men choose to not respond to his light, choose not to repent, and choose not to be reconciled to God. Now, there is another question that arises also out of a consideration of the character of God. A question that I think is just as intriguing, maybe just as difficult, if not even more difficult to answer. And it's this question: how could a righteous, pure, just, holy God take anyone to heaven? Yes, I want you to think about this. Yes, God is omni-righteous. That means he is all righteous. He is totally pure. Scripture says he dwells in unapproachable light. There is not one speck of darkness in God. Scripture tells us he is absolutely just. Absolutely just. By no means will he clear the guilty. By no means can God sweep sin under the rug. He's got to judge sin. And he is the thrice holy God. He is so holy, 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 Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. So holy, and his eyes are so pure. He cannot even look on sin. There is no sin in the presence of God. It cannot exist in the presence of God. Like a germ that exists in darkness, but when the light hits it, it's destroyed. There's no sin in the presence of God. And in heaven, there's no sin because that's where God's presence is manifested. So there can be no sin in heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know what? I thought about that this week. I think that is the greatest understatement in Scripture.
Yes, amen.
We could say all of us have continually, habitually, rebelliously, knowingly sinned. And we don't fall just short of God's glory. We fall infinitely short of God's glory. Infinitely short of God's glory. So how can an omni-righteous, totally pure, absolutely just, holy, holy, holy God take anyone to heaven? And I want to say that the requirement to get into heaven is not to be a good person. Now let me make a statement. And you might have even seen the title of this sermon. Good people don't go to heaven. Let me state it again. Good people don't go to heaven. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Let me explain it. Good people don't go to heaven. You say, well, how can you say that? I can say that because the Bible says it. Not only does the Bible say it, Jesus said it. Look, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5. We got to see this. We got to see this. Do you know who the good people were in Jesus' day? They had a name. Their name was the Pharisees. The name Pharisee, the word Pharisee or the name Pharisee comes from the Aramaic. It means separated. The Pharisees were a group of men that had separated themselves from anything that was unclean. Anything that even had a little imperfection or anything, they separated themselves. They didn't want to have anything to do with sin. These folks, the Pharisees, were the good folks in Jesus' day. The Pharisees went to church. In fact, if they were here today, they'd go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. They did. They went to synagogue and temple. I know. But that's church. It was God's house. When the doors were open to God's house, the Pharisees were there. They're good people. The Pharisees gave. The Pharisees tithed. They gave a tenth of all that came in. They gave it to the Lord. In fact, if statistics are true, they would put many of us, when it came to giving in the evangelical church, to shame.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
They were good people. They were good people. And let me tell you, folks, they were the conservatives of that day. They weren't liberals. They were conservatives. And they were committed, listen to this, committed to keeping God's law. So much so that they added over 600 rules and regulations so that they could meticulously keep the law. I mean, they wanted to meticulously be a good person. If you were back in Jesus' day and say, who's good? They'd say, oh, the Pharisees. Good people. They keep God's law. They tithe. They go to church. And yet look what Jesus says in verse 20 of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. Look what he says. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not what? Enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what Jesus was saying? Here it is. Good people don't go to heaven. He said, well, who can go to heaven then? Glad you asked. Jesus tells us. Look over in verse 48. Look in chapter 5, 48 tells us. Therefore, you are to be, what's the word there?
Perfect.
As your heavenly Father is perfect. Heaven is not for good people. Only perfect people go to heaven. Whoa. And you know what? I'm looking out at a group, and guess what? You ain't perfect. And I know this is hard to believe. Hard to believe. But this pastor ain't perfect. You can just talk to my wife or talk to my kids, and they'll confirm that with a loud amen. So I ask, how can an omni-righteous, totally pure, absolutely just, thrice holy God take anyone to heaven? And the answer is found in Romans 3. So turn to Romans 3. The answer is justification by faith. And I want to read, these are so precious verses, Romans 3, verses 21 through 31. Oh, what verses these are in God's word. Listen and rejoice with me. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? He is not the God of the Gentiles also, is he? Yes, the Gentiles also. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Man, never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. And the way that God can take a sinner to heaven is justification through faith. If you see in those verses, and I circle and mark my Bible, you will note that the word justified, justifier, or justified occurs four times. You'll also note the word righteousness. Righteousness occurs four times. And so we want to look at this today, justification. Justification. First of all, what is justification? Justification is being declared righteous by God. It's being declared righteous by God. Grudem, in his systematic theology, says justification is an instantaneous legal act of God in which he thinks of our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us. And he declares us to be righteous in his sight. Did you get that? You see, when one repents, when a sinner repents, we're going our way, we turn by grace and put faith in Jesus by grace. Jesus Christ comes into us. The Spirit of Christ comes in and regenerates us. The Spirit penetrates our spirit and gives us life. We were dead, and God gives us life. And he forgives our sin. But then he imputes, he reckons to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God looks down on us and says, righteous. He looked at me when I accepted him and said, righteous. And you too. Wow. Grudem goes on to say, when we say that God imputes Christ's righteousness to us, it means that God thinks of Christ's righteousness as belonging to us. Yes. Or regards it as belonging to us. He reckons it to our account. Now I want to show you this. You see, we were in sin, totally depraved, falling infinitely short of God's glory. But the moment I turned by God's grace and put my faith in Jesus, he came into my life. And you know what? You see that right here? He wiped away my sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He wiped them clean. He sent my sins as far as the east is from the west. He casts my sins behind his back, and he remembers them no more. He casts my sins and your sins into the deepest sea, into the Mariana Trench, and put up a no fishing sign. Yes, amen. Gone! Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You say, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you. And you know what? Many times we look at this. And you've heard this before. Justification means just as if I'd what? Never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what? It's much more than that. That's wonderful. All the guilt of my sin is gone. But justification is more than that. It's not just my sin is gone. This is my sin is gone. But now I have the righteousness of Christ. He has put his righteousness to my account, and God looked down on me, and if you're saved, he looked down on you and said, righteous in Christ. Perfectly righteous in Jesus. Now let me show you how I did it here. If we can have the next. Here it is. Here's what it is. See, here we are right there. Man, credit and debit. In the debit, you know what's in the debit? Sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. We're all sinners, all in the same boat. You say, well, how about my good stuff? Where's my good stuff? Shouldn't that be in the credit part of my good stuff? Yeah, your good stuff's over here. The Bible calls it what? Filthy rags. Yeah. Our righteousness is like filthy rags to the Lord. Apart from Christ, we have no righteousness. There are none righteous. No, not one. There's none who does good. There's none who understands. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. All have turned aside. There's none righteous. No, not one. Not even you. Your righteousness is over in the debit. But praise God. The moment you believe, your sin is placed on the cross. Your sin is on the cross. And then Jesus had no debit, by the way. Let me make that clear, because there are, according to statistics, in evangelical churches, there are people that believe that Jesus sinned. Jesus did not sin. He had no sin in him, and neither was guile in his mouth. The Bible's clear. No sin. He had only righteousness. He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, and he did. He was born under the law that he might redeem those who were under the law. By fulfilling righteousness, he was righteous. The moment I believe, my sin goes on Christ, and God puts his righteousness, Jesus, perfect righteousness, to my account. And then he looks at me and says, righteous? He's not lying. You might think he's lying, but he's not lying. Righteous in Christ. You know, we sang the song, Heaven Came Down. You remember the second verse? It says, listen, born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family, divine. What's that called? Justified. Wait. Don't go ahead. Don't go ahead of me. What's that called? Born of the Spirit with life from above. What did we study last week? Regeneration. Born of the Spirit, I've got life. And I'm put in God's family. The next phrase, what is it? Justified fully through Calvary's love. Justified because God put his righteousness to my account and declared me righteous. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing. This is our standing before God. This is our position before God. Now, that's not my practice. I'm not perfect. I thought I'd hear an amen. But I'm not. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. The Holy Spirit is working in us to get our practice in line with our position. This is our position in Christ. Our standing in Christ is perfect righteousness. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made. What transaction? My sin on the cross, Christ's righteousness in me, to me. And the transaction so quickly was made. When as a sinner I came. That's justification. God puts Jesus' righteousness to my account, And it's a forensic term, it's a declarative term, a courtroom term, righteous. Wow. Now, what's the basis? What's the basis? I'm getting out of breath and I'm getting excited. What's the basis? I want you to see this. The basis is grace. Verse 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace. You remember in the song again, what's the next verse? And the transaction so quickly was made when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace he did proffer. What's that mean? That means it was by grace. It was by grace that I and you, if you are saved, are justified. Kenneth Wiest, in his word studies in the book of Romans, states grace is a favor done out of the spontaneous generosity of God's heart of love with no expectation in return. And then he adds, there are no strings attached to God's grace. No strings attached. Out of his spontaneous generosity, out of his spontaneous love, he saves us and justifies us. Now, what is the means? The means of justification is the cross. Look at 24 and 25 again. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed, as a propitiation in his blood. I will just stop right there. First of all, he says, through the redemption. And I would say salvation and justification is a free gift. But it is not cheap. It is not cheap. We receive forgiveness and justification through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that through the redemption. The word redemption there means to buy to set free, to buy a slave in the slave market in order to set him free. And Jesus Christ entered the slave market of sin. And he purchased us. He purchased our pardon on the cross. Jesus paid for our sin. And what was the cost of our forgiveness? Verse 25 tells us that God displayed publicly as a propitiation. A propitiation. And that word, propitiation, when you think of that, you think of this. That the means of our salvation was when Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He took the punishment. He took the full fury of God's wrath upon himself on the cross. And God poured it out in full fury. He poured out hell's wrath on Jesus until the point where God's wrath was fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. God must punish sin. And he did it in the cross. And Jesus took the punishment. And God's wrath was propitiated, satisfied. It cost Christ his life. Jesus purchased our salvation with his precious blood. It says there in verse 25, he displayed him publicly. God said, here it is on the cross, displayed publicly the propitiation in his blood. This doesn't nullify the law, it confirms it. The law says, the soul which sinneth, it shall die. And on the cross, Jesus died. Not for his sins. For our sins. Wow. Wow. It cost him everything. It costs us nothing. Wait a second. It cost him everything. You know what? It costs us something. So by grace. Cost him everything. But you know what it will cost you and cost me? Pride. Because we have to admit, Lord, I'm a miserable sinner. And I need your forgiveness. Amen. And I need to come to the cross. Costs him his life, it costs us our pride. The basis. This is the answer, folks. Listen, how can an omni-righteous, how can a totally pure, how can an absolutely just, how can a thrice holy God take anyone to heaven? The cross. That's it. The cross. Justification, which comes through the cross. That's the answer. But how do we receive this justification? What's the channel? The channel through which it comes is faith. And if you look at these verses over and over again, if you mark your Bible, just circle that little word faith. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith. Verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Verse 26, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, for we maintain that man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Verse 30, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised through faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Verse 31, do we nullify the law through faith? Faith, faith, faith. How do we get saved? How do we get justified? The channel is faith. The channel is faith. Forsaking all, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. I'm going my way and I hear the call of God and I turn and repent and I put faith in Jesus Christ. And the channel brings that salvation down and Christ's spirit comes into my spirit and interpenetrates and gives me life. Yeah. And by faith, I'm saved. By faith, I'm justified. I receive to my account the righteousness of Christ. And God says, you're righteous in my son. It's all through faith. It's trusting Christ. It's believing he died for my sins, believing he rose from the dead, and asking him to come into my life. And it's faith apart from works. There's nothing I can do to deserve it or earn it. Amen? Give me a witness. There's nothing I can do. You know, could my zeal know respite? No. Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. It's not me. It's not what I do. It's who I trust. It's my faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 27 says, where then is the boasting? Who can boast of salvation? If you do, you're a fool, because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on Jesus Christ and what he did. The boasting's excluded. Excluded. By what kind of law? Works? No, but by the law of faith. Verse 28, for we maintain that man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Since by it is by grace through faith, you can't boast. And you know now, folks, listen to this. And it says it here. Now, God can be consistent with his character and still take sinners to heaven. He can be just and the justifier of those who have what? Faith in Christ Jesus. That's how he can take us to heaven. It's through faith. Your faith in Christ. That's the channel that brings it down. And you know what? He gives an example of this. Chapter 4 is an example of justification by faith apart from works of the law. In chapter 4, the prime example that he gives is Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith apart from works. Verses 1 through 5. Apart from works. It wasn't what he did. It was through faith. Listen to verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to one who does not work, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Not the good person. The ungodly. To him, it's credited as righteousness. Wow. Apart from works. Apart from what I do. Apart from anything I can do. It comes through faith. And then Abraham was justified not only apart from works. He was justified apart from rituals. Look over in verses 9 through 12. 9 through 12 of chapter 4. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? Was it while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. He didn't get the righteousness or declared righteous because he went through a ritual. Circumcision. This happened before he got circumcised. And you know what? You can't become righteous by any ritual today. Some people think, if I'm baptized, that'll make me right with God. No. We're baptized as a sign of something that's already happened. Baptism doesn't do it. Well, what about confirmation? I asked somebody, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Oh, I went through confirmation classes when I was a child. I didn't know. No, well, that's wonderful. But confirmation doesn't do it. What about taking communion or the Eucharist? Won't that do it? No. Well, what about I'll become a church member? No. No ritual can get you right with God. How do we know? Abraham. It wasn't through a ritual. Abraham believed God, and God what? Reckoned him righteous. That's it. It was not through good works. It was not through ritual. And you know what else it was? It wasn't through the law. It wasn't through the law. Look down in verses 13 through 15. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. How do we know that? Because Abraham lived over 500 years before the law was given. He couldn't keep the law. The law wasn't there. And yet God justified him, declared him righteous through faith. And everyone from the beginning of time to the end of time that will be justified before God came the same way, and that is through faith. Faith. We have another example of that. And the other example of that is the one who wrote Romans. That was the Apostle Paul. You remember his background? Remember his background? Remember who he was? Paul, the Jew, the Hebrew of Hebrews. According to the law, he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He, as far as the law was concerned, blameless. How many of you can say that? And yet he said, I count it all but rubbish for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. Yes, and to have a righteousness which does not come through the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. And he writes about it in Galatians 2:16. He says, nevertheless, knowing that man is not justified by the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ that we might be justified by faith apart from works of the law. For since by the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen. There it is. Another man, we could give an example, and I've got to hurry here, but you know what? There was a Catholic priest by the name of Martin Luther.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you, this guy wanted to be good. He agonized to be good. He would think a wrong thought, and for days he would agonize over it. Oh, I've got to be good. I've got to somehow get right in God's eyes, and yet I know my heart. And he agonized and agonized, and he made a trip to Rome. And he saw people on the steps of the Sistine Chapel, kneeling and crawling up those steps and asking God's forgiveness and doing penance and trying to get God's forgiveness. And he's down on the steps agonizing, oh, God, help me. I want to be righteous. I don't. And God spoke to him and said this, the just shall live by faith. Folks, and the light came on, and the Reformation was born on those steps. I'm going to tell you, the channel that brings it all down to us is faith. And last, what are the results? And this, you've got to see this. This is so good. This is so good. Chapter 5, verse 1, the first result, because of justification by faith, we have peace with God. Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it pays to have peace with certain people. It pays to have peace with your neighbors. If you don't have peace with your neighbors, they're going to be a pain in the neck. And it's terrible, isn't it? Anybody experience that? It pays to have peace with a judge. If you're going before a judge, you better hope you have peace with him. He's not your enemy. It pays even more to have peace with the woman who's cooking your food. But most of all, it pays to have peace with our Creator, with the one with whom we will have to do, and we're going to stand before and give an account. And because of justification, I have peace with Him. I have peace with Him. Secondly, I have been saved from the wrath of God. Look down at verse 9. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. I'll tell you, God has made a peace treaty with us, and He signed it in the blood of Jesus, and we are saved from His wrath. I'm not going to hell. I'm so excited. I'm not going to hell because I'm justified by the blood of Christ, by the death of Christ, by His love, and by God's grace. I've been justified. Thirdly, look over in chapter 8, real quickly. Chapter 8, verse 1. We are now uncondemnable. I don't even know if that's a word, but I made that one up. We're uncondemnable. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Look over in verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is He who died, yes, who rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who is going to bring a charge against me? Satan might be there day and night saying, no, that Les Sutherland. You see, he blew it again. God, you blew it again. Oh, look at that. Oh. And Jesus said, I died for that one. Died for that one. Died for that one. God said, listen, I've already called him righteous. Get out of here, Satan. Who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? We are uncondemnable. Praise God. Look over in Titus chapter 3. Last one. I'm just excited. I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Look at this. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We now have the hope of eternal life. Because I'm justified, I'm going to heaven. Can you say amen? Come on, wake up. This is great stuff. Now, what has God done? Now for the sermon. I got to show you. Okay, here's what God has done. And some of you have seen this before, but it's okay. This is my life. This is my life. Hello. This is us. all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all fall infinitely short of God's glory. But God loved us so much that he came down from heaven. And look, can you tell a difference? Compared to you, I'm not too bad. Compared to Jesus, I'm a black hole. I fall infinitely short. And then this Jesus, who lived a perfect life, went to the cross. He died and gave his blood for our sins. The righteous Lamb of God gave his blood. That when I believe in him and believe that he died for me on the cross, what happens? My sins. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Nailed to the cross. I bear them no more. My sins are covered by the what? The by the blood. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. My sins have been forgiven through the blood of Christ. That's wonderful. But it's something more. I might need help. God put his righteousness to my account and says, righteous, righteous. Les Sutherland is righteous. And you know the result of justification? The result of justification is this, that an omni-righteous, totally pure, absolutely just, thrice holy God can take a sinner like me to heaven. That's great. Lord, we bow before